There was a pastor preaching from the book of Genesis. He wanted to talk about God bringing Eve and presenting her to Adam. And so he was reading in Genesis, it says, and God brought Eve and presented her to Adam. And then he turned the page, but young people had been in there and put glue in the Bible. And so he turned the page from God presenting Eve to him over to where Noah was building the ark. And said, God presented Eve to him, and he turned your page, and she was 350 feet wide and 40 cubits deep. And well, this is one of those mornings, failure takes on a life of its own, doesn't it? And I want to talk about failure, and that by Lord, help me this morning. Problems are really a part of our lives all the time. We are never free from problems, are we? No. You know, everyone in here this morning, you have your share of problems. And some of them are pretty severe and pretty threatening. But it's the human condition that we are always dealing with problems. And we long to maybe some point where we can solve that problem and kind of arrive at a problem-free life. And I got news for you this morning. It's not going to happen. Because no matter what kind of success that we have, that success is not forever. Because you solve one problem successfully, and then tomorrow morning there's another problem, sometimes bigger than the problem you've just solved. It is the nature of our lives. And then, ladies and gentlemen, as we cope with our problems, we pray and we do our best, and sometimes not our best. And we fail time and time again. Do you know something about failing like that? But I have to tell you, the message theme this morning is that no failure is final. Never final. And that's what Elijah was learning in the scripture lesson today. Now, prior to what Jim read to you today was a story about this great prophet, Elijah, and he was a great prophet. He appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he was using his skills and his gifts to warn the people. And Israel was dropping more and more into paganism. And he said, he must have thought in his mind, if there's just one thing that I can do to turn this whole thing around. And then he sent out a notice to the little nation of Israel, and he said, I want everyone to come to Mount Carmel. And they gathered there. Even the king was there that day. Thousands of people at Mount Carmel. And Elijah said to them, how long will you halt between two opinions? Yahweh, the God of Israel, or Baal, the nature god? How long will you can't make up your mind. When will you choose? Well, today, he said, you're going to choose. And so he said, we're going to build two altars. And the God that answers our prayers by fire, if that is Baal, then that is God. And the God that answers by fire that I pray to, if he consumes the sacrifice, then that is God. That's quite an interesting challenge. And so they gathered them there, and he even poured barrels of water around his particular altar. And the priests, 450 of them, they begin to pray. They begin to cry out to God. And they begin to cut themselves and beating on the drums and the tambourines and lots of emotion. Oh, Baal, please let your fire fall and consume this altar. And it didn't happen. In the meantime, Elijah was mocking them. Well, I said, where is your God? Has he gone on a vacation? Has he suddenly can't hear you? And all, he mocked them. And then after they were through, he stood there and he said, God, now, at this moment, let fire fall from heaven and let the people know that you are the one true God. And fire did fall from heaven and consumed that sacrifice and that altar completely. And then the Israelites, they flooded over and said, well, that's our God. That's Yahweh. He's our God. And they destroyed 450 priests there at the foot of Mount Carmel. Well, can you imagine how that prophet Elijah must have felt? Boy, this is it. Now, this is going to turn the whole thing around. But then Ahab, that weak king, he went home to his dominating wife, Jezebel. And when she heard about it, this foreigner in their country, all kinds of gods she brought with her, said, you go back and you tell Elijah that tomorrow I'm going to feed his body to the buzzards. Well, you would think that Elijah just brushed that off. No, after this success, I can withstand anything. But when he was told what Jezebel said, this shows you, by the way, ladies, the power of a woman. When he heard what Jezebel said, he was terrified. He fled for his life like a coward from the battlefield. Did you ever feel that way? Do you feel like a coward that you have abandoned that which is right and gone and hid? Well, that's what he did. And he made an 800-mile trip to Mount Horeb where God had given the Ten Commandments to Moses. What about that for a spiritual retreat when you need help from God? And so he stopped by way of a broom tree, the juniper tree, and he began to complain and lament that, you know, God, it's over. It's done. I failed. I'm no better than my predecessors, no better than my fathers before me. I have failed. And he said, you might as well take my life. It's over. Now that's a sense of a huge failure. And he makes his way on up to Mount Horeb, and there in the darkness of that cave, God came and sent a windstorm and a hailstorm and an earthquake, and he was not in any of that noise. But he whispered to the soul of Elijah, you get up and you get on your feet. And he touched him with enough grace that he could come out of that dark cave and go down and face the enemy again. Because you know something, Elijah? Failure is not final. And that's God in our lives. No failure is final. But I have to have a confession to make to you. I've learned a lot of things in my lifetime. And I have several degrees, and that's supposed to prove that you know something, but believe me, they only prove what you don't know. But I have learned many things in many ways, but my confession is that it has been my failures that have taught me the most. I have learned the deepest truths because of my own failures. And failures have a lot to teach us. We can learn from them. We can learn from them. I once saw a cartoon about Peanuts, and he and Sally were sitting, Charlie Brown and Sally were sitting at a table, and she had two sheets of paper there. And Charlie Brown, he says, well, now, Sally, I notice on the paper you're making a list, and there's a long list on one sheet of paper and almost nothing on the other sheet of paper. What's that long list about? She said, well, I'm making a long list of the things I have learned the hard way. Failure can be a learning experience. Now, here's one failure, though, ladies and gentlemen, we must not make. That is a failure to know our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, Chuck Colson died. And you know the story of Chuck Colson. But, I mean, he failed big time. And his life imploded on him. He was arrested and put in prison, the Watergate scandal. You know the story. But, ladies and gentlemen, one night, Chuck Colson made his way to a home of Tom Phillips up in Boston, Massachusetts, a well-known CEO and a profound Christian man that he had met on one other occasion, who had come to know the Lord through the Billy Graham evangelism. He heard about Tom Phillips, and he made his way to Tom Phillips' home one dark night. That long drive, and he sat down in his study with him, and they began to talk about what had happened to him, about life and forgiveness and sin and death and all of that. And he had prayer together. And he gave him that copy of C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. And Chuck Colson, he choked back the tears and said, I'm not ready for this yet. But he could hardly find his way to the car, let alone put the key in the door and the key in the ignition. And he could hardly drive out of the driveway because the tears and the sobbing had overtaken him that he just pulled over in the grass and he stopped. And there with his head on the steering wheel, he said, God, I don't know how to find you, but I'm going to try. And he said, all I could say from that point on for about 30 minutes was, take me, take me, take me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, his story is a story of someone who utterly and completely failed. And it's a story about how the grace of God, no failure is final as long as God is in the equation. And sometimes the best thing that can happen to a preacher is to fail at a church. He can learn a lot from his failures, believe me. No failure is final. Failure teaches us how important our faith is. Faith keeps hope alive. And when hope is alive, we never stop trying. We just keep trying. We just hang in there. We keep trusting. Faith keeps us connected to hope. In 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, Paul writes, "I'm handicapped on every side, but I'm never frustrated. I'm puzzled and confused, but I'm not in despair." You see, he wouldn't let go of his faith. "I'm persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. I'm knocked down, but I'm not knocked out." No failure is final when you get knocked down. This great saint says you get up. And that's what faith does. That's what hope does. Floyd Patterson is one of our great fighters, heavyweight champion. And some of you may not recall him, but he's rather small to be a heavyweight fighter. And he was knocked down many times. And one of the sportscasters asked him, "Well, Floyd, when you're lying there on the campus, knocked down, what do you think of?" He said, "Well, I think about getting up. I think about getting up." And that's what hope does. That's what faith does. We just keep getting up. Elijah never gave up. He continued to talk to God. Failure teaches us a lot about humility. And I have learned the most about humilities in my failures and not in my successes. In my successes, I'm more vulnerable to being prideful about what has happened. But in my failures, it really keeps humility alive in my life. I was talking to Austin and his wife outside and this morning before we came in, and she's telling me how much she loved cats and how what passion she had for cats. And I don't think Austin loves cats that much. And I said, "Have you lived with this for how many years, 50-some years?" He said, "Yes, I have." You know, a wife has a way of keeping us humble. I don't know about your wife, but my wife has a way of really keeping me humble. It's in humility that we learn the deep truths of life. Our failures teach us, ladies and gentlemen, how much God loves us. In our failures, other people may run from us. They may hide from us. They may make fun of us. They may think we're all washed up, but that's exactly in our failures where God comes and says, "You know something? I still love you. I'm still with you. And I will give you grace and strength. This failure is not going to last forever. You're going to learn from it. You're going to grow from it. And I've got different higher levels that I'm calling you to out of this failure." Failure is the way that we go forward, providing we learn from it. In 1981 and 82, Champion International was closing down their headquarters in Hamilton. And I had about a dozen CEOs in my church who were transferred to Connecticut. That's a big swath of people to lose. And in that kind of community loss, there began to appear in the back of the church from Sunday to Sunday an individual, a man by the name of Norm. And I didn't know who he was, and he never signed the fellowship pad, never stayed for fellowship, never stayed to talk. He would just come and sit in the back pew every Sunday. And I could tell that this man was really depressed by his body language. And then he didn't bring his family with him. He was from the Presbyterian church. He had been let go, and he was so ashamed he wouldn't even go back to his home church. Finally, he started bringing his family and his two boys and wife with him. And then they disappeared. Didn't see them anymore. And then I got a letter from Michigan from Norm. And he said, "Pastor Montgomery, I owe it to you to tell you something." He said, "The first time I came to your church and you had a responsive reading, and when you read that responsive reading," and the one we read this morning, by the way, "when you read that responsive reading, God touched my heart that day because I felt like a failure. I felt like my sense of self-worth and self-esteem had been shattered. I was a CEO and a successful CEO of a company that simply said, we don't want you anymore. And for over a year, I'd been looking for a job. You know what it does to a man to lose a means of income? It is really a tremendous sense of failure. And what did he read that morning? Well, he read, are you trying to tell me something, God? That failure doesn't mean I'm a failure. And that's the danger. We begin to think, I've not made a mistake and I have failed, but I am a failure. Are you trying to tell me I'm a failure? It doesn't mean I haven't succeeded. Failure doesn't mean I haven't accomplished nothing. It doesn't mean I've learned nothing. Failure doesn't mean I've been a fool. It means I've tried. Failure doesn't mean I've been disgraced. It does mean that I dared to try. It doesn't mean I don't have it. It does mean I need to do something in a different way. Failure teaches us those things. Failure doesn't mean I'm inferior. It does mean I'm not perfect. It doesn't mean I've wasted my life. It does mean I have an excuse to start over again from this failure. Now, you think this man depressed reading this and God's love finding him as he sat there. It doesn't mean I'll never make it. It means I need more patience. Sometimes problems last a long time. It doesn't mean you will have abandoned me. It does mean you have a better idea. And when I went back and looked at that message I preached in 1982, I ended that message with this prayer. Lord, help me to understand that my sense of worth and value does not depend on the world's standard of success. Remind me that I am precious in your eyes and much loved. Amen and amen. Now, he did come back to First Church. And when he walked out with his family, his face was just glowing. He had this new job up in Michigan, and that was going well. But he said, Pastor, I want to show you something. He took out his big wallet. He opened it up, and he pulled out paper that had turned brown by that time, a little wrinkled and a little torn on the edges. And he showed me just what we read this morning about failure, that God's love found him in that dark cave of failure and said, you know something? I'm going to touch you with a new grace, and you can get up and you can go back down and face the enemy again. No success is forever, and no failure is final. Would you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your living presence among us. We thank you for your love that finds us wherever we are. Go with us now as we sing this last hymn of departing. Surround us with your love and care as we face the problems of our lives. Amen.